ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम सहना भवतु, सहनौ भुनक्तु, सह वीर्यं करवावहै, तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति। ओम नमो भगवते श्री दक्षिणामूर्ति स्वरूपाय श्री दयानंद रूपाय परम गुरवे परमात्मने परब्रह्मणे सच्चिदानंद रूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः। यस्माज्जातं जगत् सर्वं यस्मिन्नेव प्रलीयते येनेदं धार्यते चैव तस्मै ज्ञानात्मने नमः। ॐ ब्रह्मविदा आप्नोति परम् तदेषाभ्युक्ता सत्यं ज्ञानमनन्तं ब्रह्म यो वेद निहितं गुहायां परमे व्योमन् सोऽश्नुते सर्वान् कामान् सह ब्रह्मणा विपश्चितेति तस्माद्वा एतस्मादात्मन आकाशः सम्भूतः आकाशाद्वायुः वायोरग्निः अग्नेरापः अद्भ्यः पृथिवी पृथिव्या ओषधयः ओषधीभ्योऽन्नम् अन्नात्पुरुषः। ब्रह्मविद् परम् आप्नोति तत् एषा अभ्युक्ता। दिस् सेम् फैक्ट् हेस् बीन् रिवील्ड् बै द ऋग्मन्त्र दि फालोयिङ्ग् ऋग्मन्त्र सत्यं ज्ञानम् अनन्तं ब्रह्म। वाट् इस् इट् ब्रह्मन्? सत्यं ज्ञानम् अनन्तम्। सो नो वर्ड् रिवील्स् ब्रह्मन्। वाट् इस् रिवील्ड्, वाट् इम्प्लैड् बै द टर्म् ब्रह्मन् इस् नाट् रिवील्ड् मीन्स् वाट्? इट्स् नाट् एस् सून् एस् यु से सत्यम् इस् ब्रह्म, यु कान्ट् इमिडियट्ली understand, immediately you can see, can't hear, smell, taste. So Brahm, satyam asti iti satyam, that which alone exists is satyam. So that which exists as a changeless cause is satyam. That which is in the form of the world, everything that is here is satyam. So that which alone exists in the form of the whole, an unchanging, changeless cause is satyam. Yes, it is cause. At the same time, it is not inert. Not even is it is not time bound. It is absolute cause, the causeless cause, for unchanging, changeless cause. What is it? It is not inert. It is of the pure consciousness. The word jnanam says that reality, obtaining him of existence of everything. As a changeless cause, is ever of the nature of knowing. But it is not anything. Any of the words derived from the root verb jnanam, the word jnanam, the knower, known on knowledge, the instrument of knowledge, it is pure knowledge, the source of everything. Because it is not limited, subject to any limitation. It is of the type of limitlessness, infinitude. The word anantam says what? That Brahman, that reality implied with the term Brahman is limitless. So we understood this. Then we are seeing the meaning of those three words. How, what exactly is implied by the word Satyam, what exactly is implied by the word Jnanam, Anantam, etc. is being seen now in this commentary on this Upanishad. So we understood yesterday very clearly Shankara Bhagavatpada's reply to the Pura Pakshi. The Pura Pakshi, yesterday I clarified it. The Pura Pakshi here is the Shunyavadi. He is not satisfied because these three words, Satyam, distinguishes Brahman, distinguishes the reality implied by the term Brahman from everything else which is subject to change. And the word Jnanam distinguishes the reality Brahman from everything that is inert. And the word Anantam distinguishes Brahman from everything that is subject to limitations, time-wise, object-wise, spatially limited. These three words distinguish Brahman from what it is not. This distinguishing the reality from what Brahman is not is negating everything else which is not Brahman. So these three words have their own meanings. Swartha, aparityagaha, they retain their own meaning. They do not give up their meaning. They have their own meanings. They reveal Brahman. So the meaning of each word is what is implied by the word Brahma. The changeless cause, pure existence is Brahma. The pure knowledge is Brahma. And pure existence, pure knowledge, which is free from all limitations, spatial, time, object limitations, is Brahma. So these words do reveal directly what is implied by the term Brahma. They also negate what Brahman is not. They also distinguish Brahman from everything else, the entirety of the objective universe, including one's body, mind, and complex, inclusive of Ahankara. So we understood all this very clearly. But here the Pura Pakshi's doubt was, these three words, Brahman being the changeless cause, Brahman being pure knowledge, Brahman being infinite, is not understood as any other attribute revealed by an adjective. Therefore, they don't, what is revealed by these three words, is not available for experience, knowledge, like any other object. As this, what is revealed by these words, is not available for objectification or experience, recognition, like any other object, the Pura Pakshi arrives at the conclusion such a thing does not exist at all. The Brahman is non-existent. Though he accepts, yes, these three words do distinguish Brahman from everything else, but that what is distinguished from everything else is non-existent, shunyam. That was his understanding. Therefore, Shankara Bhagavatpada explained, no, that view of a Shunyavadi is not correct. Brahman is not non-existent. It's not Shunyam. The abstract, formless, absolute reality of the entirety of the cosmos is not non-existent, is not Shunyam. We saw that. And for which he said, even the very word he gave, many reasons why Brahman is not non-existent, why what is implied by the term Brahman is not non-existent. It is the very existence. It is existent. Why? It is not non-existent. First of all, he said, the word, all these words have their own meanings. And the meaning of those words is Brahma. Just because we do not understand what is implied by these words, just because we don't arrive at what is implied by these words as an object, we cannot conclude that Brahman is non-existent. This is number one point. Second is, the word Brahman itself has its own meaning. Therefore, it's a meaningful word. A meaningful word cannot imply something non-existent. Second point. The third point we saw was, the word Satyam and the word Jnanam, these two words, they become the defining, revealing words by submitting their own meanings in terms of changeless caused existence, pure existence and pure knowledge. The Ananta Shabda, the word Anantam, also becomes the definition of Brahman through the negation of everything else which is subject to limitation. This third number, point number three. So what? Come on, Brahman is not non-existent. Brahman is something absolutely existent revealed by these, all these four words. Implied by these words. Having said that, and finally he said, even in the following mantra, immediately following mantra, which serves as Tatastha Lakshanam of Brahma, the following mantra, which serves as a Tatastha Lakshanam, indirect definition of Brahman, there, Upanishad herself presents the Brahman as the nearest self, Atma. Stating that from that Brahman obtaining as the innermost essence of every being, implied the term Atma, from that Atma, the space has come into existence. We are not seeing that meaning. What is important for us? That Brahman, the truth of the whole, is presented as the innermost essence of every being, every jiva, obtaining as the nearest self, implied by the term Atma, which means the swarupam of every jiva, every individual being is Brahma. The very swarupa means the very truth of I, the content of I, the subjective knowledge, the essential nature of every individual is Brahma. Therefore, he said, we saw that sentence, I'm going to read it today. Tasmadva etasmad atmanaha. Shankaracharya quotes only that much of the mantra. So what is important that we should now see there? Brahman is mentioned as Atma, which means Brahman and Atma. What is implied by the term Atma? What is implied by the term Brahman? Is one and the same. This itself is like one Mahavakyam. which states the essential oneness of the truth of the individual and the truth of the whole cosmos. The essential nature of the individual, the essential nature of the entirety of the objective universe being one and the same is revealed here, which means the word Atma is used in the sense of Brahma. The use of the word Atma is in the place of Brahma. The word is Brahma. Therefore, what is Brahma? Vedituhu Atma eva Brahma. Come on. How can we say what is implied by the term Brahma, what is implied by this word Satyam Jnanam Anantam to be non-existent, to be Shunyam, when what is implied by the term Brahman is there as the very self of the knower. Vedituhu Atma eva Brahma. Every individual who refers to oneself as I should say definitely, I am the knower of the universe. I am the knower of the objective universe means I am the knower of everything else, including one's own body, mind, and its complex. Which means that Vedita, I am the Vedita, and my own Swarup means Brahma. Which means there can, what does it mean? There cannot be Vedita, there cannot be Jnata, Pramata, the knower without Brahma. Therefore, ST also has said, denying the existence of Brahman, mistake the Brahman to be Shunyam, is denying the existence of one's own self. It is like saying, I am not here. I am non-existent. How funny it sounds. If we say, I am non-existent, I am not here. This is what we mean when we say Brahman is Shunyam. So, Vedituhu Swaru, Vedituhu Atma Eva Brahma. This is all yesterday's lesson. And there itself, Acharya quotes another mantra from the same place where he says, okay, leave the grossest body, the Annamaya Kosha, then subtle body involving three koshas, three layers of personality, the prana, pranamaya kosha, manomaya kosha, vijnanamaya kosha, much subtler, much interior to that is anandamaya kosha. And even what is there, even being distinct from, even distinct from the anandamaya kosha, what is that which is there? Transcending the Anandamaya Kosha, beyond the Anandamaya Kosha, being distinct from Anandamaya Kosha is this Atma. Therefore, that sentence also very clearly conveys Brahman being the Swarupma of every individual. Therefore, there, Yetam Anandamayam Atmanam Upasamkramati Iti Atmatam Darshayati. So Upanishad herself shows, Darshayati shows the, what is implied by the term Brahman having the status of being the Atma. Which means what is implied by the term Atma, what is implied by the term Brahman is one and the same only truth. Only vastu. Therefore, what? Brahman is not non-existent. Don't forget, Shankara Bhagavatpada is explaining and clarifying the doubt of a Purvapakshi. By way of clarifying it, he is refuting his view. Brahman is not Shunyam. Okay. Then, one more, towards the end we saw this, Anupravesha Shrutihi. as soon as having created this universe, Brahman is as though entered into the individual as Jiva. That Anupravesha Shrutihi, there also, it is made very clear this all-pervasive absolute reality, the absolute cause of everything, is very much there as the Jiva. Having enjoying the status of being a Jiva, Brahman alone is there as Jiva. I mean, there cannot be something called Jiva without Brahma. It is Brahman who is there as the Jiva. So he says, Tat Praveshat Cha, as there is entry of that Brahman as though, revealed in that statement, Tat Srishtva Tadeva Nupravishati. That Brahma, that's this mantra, the Anupravesha Shrutihi, is there in the is there where the Brahman is, the definition of Brahman, the indirect definition of Brahman is given, where Brahman is presented as the cause of the universe, stating that everything has come into existence from Brahman. So we should not stretch too much and analyze. And should not say, oh, Brahman is the cause, or Brahman has created, or universe has come into existence from Brahman. All those things you should not think about now. What is implied, what is mentioned is, there also, that Brahman, the absolute reality, is very much there as the Jiva. So, Tadeva Anupravishat Iti, Tasyayeva Jivarupena Sharira Pravesham Darshayati. In the same section, Upanishad shows very clearly, shows the entry of the Brahman into the body. You can say body, mind, sense complex, in the form of a Jiva or as Jiva. Jivarupena Tasya eva brahmanaha. Tasya eva, you can add brahmanaha, so you will not get confused. Tasya eva brahmanaha. Sharira pravesham. Jivarupena darshayati. Jivarupena sharira pravesham darshayati. Upanishad very clearly shows the entry into the entry of that Brahman only into the body, mind, sense complex as the Jiva. Ataha, therefore, what is Brahma? Vedituhu Swarupam Brahma. Brahman is the very truth, very self, essential nature of the knower. Okay. Vedituhu Swarupam Brahma. Let me make it very clear here. I had stopped before I go to the Purapakshi is another doubt. Okay. A new doubt is going to come. Okay. When you say Vedituhu Swarupam Brahma, what does it mean? Now you know Jnanam Brahma. The word, what is implied by the term Jnanam is pure knowledge, pure consciousness, which is the truth of the knower known knowledge, which is free from this triputi bhedaha, free from this difference. So Brahman, the pure knowledge or consciousness, is not the knower, not the known, not the knowledge. But all the three are nothing but Brahman. So that we understood. Now, Vedituhu Swarupam means what? Swarupam of the Vedita, Swarupam of the Knower. Jnatuhu, Pramatuhu, Vedituhu Swarupam Brahma. Means, I explained this, when he did this, when he did the Mula Grantha Pata, when the original text was taught before I taught this, and again in between in many other other classes also I explained this. This is what is exactly, this is how it is explained. How Brahman or Atma is the Swarup of the knower. In a dark room, the light is turned on, all the entire room becomes illumined in the presence of the light. So don't take too much extent. There's a light. There's light, therefore there is illumination. Because of the illumination, all the opaque things become illumined. So there are illumined opaque things. Opaque things are illumined. How do we know? Because they shine. Bureau shines, cupboard shines, chair shines, bed shines, mattress shines, computer shines. Whatever opaque things are there in the room, all those opaque things shine because they're illumined. They're illumined because there's illumination. Because there's illumination, the illumination presupposes what? Illumination presupposes the presence of the illuminator. The illumined objects presuppose the illumination. The illumination presupposes the subject of illumination. The illuminator, the presence of the illuminator. There is illuminator, no doubt at all. There is illuminator, but for the presence of which there cannot be illumination, because of which objects are shining, being illumined. Therefore, there is illuminator, and you search for the illuminator. If you search for the illuminator, what will you stumble upon finally? In the presence of light, there is illuminator. The light is turned off, there is no illuminator. In the sense, don't stretch the example. Just understand and leave it, because Atma never disappears. When you turn off the light, light can disappear, but Atma doesn't disappear. So in the presence of illuminator, in the presence of the light, there is illuminator, which means illuminator is a temporary qualification attributed to the light. There is no such thing called illuminator at all other than the light, which means the illuminator, the swarupam, the essential nature of the illuminator is light. The illuminator is light. When we say illuminator and the light are not two things. From the standpoint of illumination, we do find, think, understand there is illuminator. And that illuminator is none other than the light, which means the light, if the light is, there is illuminator. The light is not, there is no illuminator, which means light is the truth of the illuminator. Light is the swarupam of the illuminator. Light is the self of the illuminator. In fact, light is, without light, there is no illuminator at all. So illuminator is a temporary qualification attributed to the light from the standpoint of the illumination and the illumined objects. Therefore, we can say swarupam. This is what is swarupam. In the same way here, this abstract, formless, inexplicably subtlest reality, vastu, which is of the nature of knowing. What does it know? Knowing is its swarupam. Of the nature of knowing alone, is there as the Vedita? Is there a Vedita? Is there a knower absolutely? I'm not talking about relatively. Relatively, there's a knower. We can say Antakkanam becomes the knower. Absolutely, there can, even though light is not the illuminator, because illuminator is not the action, it's a sorupam. But there cannot be illuminator without the light. In the same way, Atma is not the knower, because knowing is not an action. The absolute reality implied by the term Brahman, which alone is there as the self of every individual, as Jiva, is not of the nature, not of the act of knowing. It is of the nature of knowing. Knowing is this Swarupam, is not an action. Therefore, what? Atma is not the knower from the standpoint of Atma. From the standpoint of reality, Brahman or Atma, Brahman is not the knower. The knower is a temporary qualification attributed to this all-pervasive reality obtaining as the innermost essence, temporarily attributed. There is no knower other than Brahma, other than Atma. Therefore, what? Brahman is the very swarupam of the, very self of the knower. Vedituhu swarupam. Brahma. In every individual being, there is Vedita, there is Vedituhu Swarupam. That's why innermost essence. Why innermost essence? Is this Brahman is there being distinct from everything else, beyond everything else. But there's nothing beyond this Brahma. There's no distance between all the components which everything which compose the individual. Brahman is distinct from everything else. Distinct, but not distant. Therefore, what is implied by the term Brahman happens to be the abstract reality, which is of the nature of knowing, which is said to be the very swarupam of the knower, the truth of the I. The word here is what cannot be a shunyam, is definitely not shunyam. Vedituhu swarupam Brahma. So he explained it. So it is not non-existent. Na shunyam na. That is finished. Now, Purupakshi comes with a different doubt. What is this different doubt? Now we are all convinced. You are supposed to be convinced. Yes, Brahma asti. Brahma asti. I have no doubt. Just because not available for objectification, available for experience as an object, I should not arrive at the conclusion it doesn't exist. Okay. It is there. As what? As one's own self. Now, what is the different? Now, doubt comes. Evam tarhi, look at this. Now, Pura Pakshi comes. Evam tarhi, evam means what? If it is so, if it is so, if Brahman alone is the Atma, if Atma is the Swarupma of the knower, then Brahman has what? The status of being the knower. Brahman has, when Brahman becomes in associated with the act of knowing. You say Brahman is the Swarupma of the knower. Therefore, Brahman has the status of being the knower. Already explained, okay? Why Brahman is not the knower, why Brahman is not the known, why Brahman is not the knowledge, Brahman is not the instrument of knowledge, everything. Brahman has no connection with any karakam, already explained. So don't think I am repeating, okay? I am not repeating. Shastram repeats. Shankara Bhagavatpada repeat. This is what is said to be what thorough understanding. Okay. Evam tarhi, if so, atmatvate jnanakartrutvam. Atmatvate jnanakartrutvam. Brahman has jnanakartrutvam. Brahman has the status of being associated with the act of knowing. Brahman has the status of being the knower as Atma. Why? Brahman alone is Atma. Purbukshi is very happy. Oh, Brahman alone is the Atma. Atma and Brahma are one and the same. He made very clear to his Swarupam. Very clear, very clear, very clear. Okay? Brahman and Atma are one and the same. Atma is what? The Swarupam of the knower. Therefore what? Atmatvate, as Brahman has the status of being the Atma, as Brahman alone is there as the Atma, as Atma and Brahman are not two different things, now Brahman as Atma has what? Jnana Kartritvam, has a status of being the knower. Okay. So what? Now he says what? So, Atma Jnata Itihi Prasiddham. Prasiddham means what? It is very well known. Prasiddham means very well known. Indeed, what is well known? Atma Jnata Iti. Atma is the knower. Atma is not the knower. But the knower is Atma. It is very well known, there cannot be knower without Atma. The knower is Atma. This fact is well known. And he says, so what? Now he wants to say, this Purapakshi wants to associate Brahman as Atma with act of knowing. So what exactly wants to convey? He's continuing, okay? Atma hi jnata iti prasiddham. It is well known. The knower is Atma. And he also says what? He also quotes a mantra from Upanishad itself. What is the mantra? There's a mantra in Taittiriya Upanishad. We are going to see later on. We have seen already before when we did the original text. Now again, we are going to see that. But here, Purapakshi very happily quotes a mantra. Come on, I have the support of... He thinks he has support of the Shastra. He also has Shruti Pramanam. He also can quote a mantra from Upanishad herself. Upanishad itself, he can quote a mantra. And he has support of God. He feels supported for his view. What is that? So, kamayata bahusyam prajayeti. Iti. So kamayata saha akamayata. Saha is a masculine gender word. The masculine pronoun, which means Atma. That Brahman, who is this Atma, once akamayata, desired, entertained a desire. Akamayate, present tense verb, desires. Akamayata, Atmane Padam. He desired that Brahman, because there as Atma, once desired. Means what? This mantra is present again in the context of Srishti Prakriya. When Upanishad discusses the topic of creation, this creation, the topic of creation is presented as a prakriya, as a myth, not this prakriya. Please make note. The Srishti Prakriya is a method of analyzing the creation. The analysis of the creation is Srishti Prakriya. So, this is a method. Analyzing the creation is also one of the methods of arriving at what exactly, how exactly the reality implied by the term Brahman is. So the aim of the method of analyzing the creation is not at all for establishing the creation, but it's a method of arriving at what exactly the reality is. In that context of analyzing the creation, in order to arrive at Brahman, there this sentence comes. Saha akamayata, he desired, Atma desired, what Bahusyam, I'm all alone, may I become many, may I multiply, Bahusyam, Prajayeya, may have, may I produce, may I create, this desire was there in the part of Atma. That's why don't take it very seriously. These are all very, very carefully you have to understand. Without having studied Moola Grantha, people come and sit in this class, they will, oh, Atma desired, Brahman desired, they will think that way. No. It says a sentence comes. There's a sentence which says, Brahman as Atma desired. Saha akamayata. Desired what? Desired to create, to become many. Therefore, that desire also, desire on the part of the Atma, Brahman also implies what? Implies Brahman having the status of being the knower. A desire entertained on the part of the Atma implies Atma or Brahman having the status of being the knower. Why? Because any desire presupposes knowledge. Any desire presupposes knowledge. You cannot have a desire for something which you do not know. Where he says, Saha kamayata iti cha kaminaha jnana kartrutva prasiddhihi. Kami means what? Yaha kamayate saha kami. Yasya kamaha asti saha kami. Kami is what? Nakarantaha pullingaha kaminna shabdaha. Therefore, Kami, namative case, Kaminaha, positive case. Kaminaha, Jnana Kartrutva Prasiddhihi. The Nisarga comes. Jnani, Kaminaha, Jnana Kartrutva Prasiddhihi. The Prasiddhihi means there's pop, the word Prasiddhihi means has so many meanings. There's popularity, Prasiddhihi. Fame, prasiddhi, renown, prasiddhi. But here, it is well known. What is well known? The person who has a desire, who is a desirer, has the status of being the knower. Means, the one who desires must be the knower. The desirer must be the knower. Without being the knower, one cannot become the one who desires. Therefore, desiring presupposes knowing. Kaminaha jnana kartrutva prasiddhihi. It's a well-known fact. Whoever desires must have the status of being the knower, must be the knower also, knower of something. The knower of something can become the desirer of something which is known. Ataha, therefore, what is Purupakshi's view now? What is his conclusion? Jnana kartrutvat. ஜ்ஞப்திஹி பிரம்ம இதி அயுக்தம். பூர்வபக்ஷி கம்ஸ் பேக் வித் தி சேமோ, இன் ஸ்பைட் ஆஃப் ஹேவிங் பீன் எக்ஸ்பிளைன்ட் ஆல்ரெடி, ஸ்டில் பூர்வபக்ஷி கேன் கம் வித் சச் எ டவுட். ஓகே, சச் எ குரி. வாட் ஹீ சேஸ், ஜ்ஞப்திஹி பிரம்ம இதி அயுக்தம். ஜ்ஞப்திஹி பிரம்ம இதி அயுக்தம். What was earlier explained, that Brahman is pure consciousness, is Brahma. Pure knowledge is Brahma. The pure knowledge, pure consciousness, which is the swarupam of knower known knowledge, distinct from knower known knowledge, is free from this triputi bheda, is Brahma. The pure consciousness is Brahma. Pure knowledge is Brahma. So the word jnaptihi was explained as pure knowledge. The pure knowledge is Brahma. It was said before, that is ayuktam. It is inappropriate, incorrect. Pure knowledge is Brahma. It is incorrect. Why? Because this Brahman as Atma has the status of being the knower. Jnana kartrutvatu. Jnana kartrutvam asti atmanaha. Atma, Brahman as Atma has his status of being the knower. As Atma, Brahman has his status of being the knower. Is what? Not pure knowledge. So saying that Brahman is pure jnana knowledge, the pure knowledge is the implied meaning of the word jnanam, jnaptihi, that is what is implied by the term Brahma, that is incorrect. Okay, saying pure consciousness is Brahma, that is inappropriate. Jnaptihi Brahma iti ayuktam. Why? Brahman has the status of being the knower. Why do you say it's knower? Because Brahman as Atma as is the desirer, had the desire. Because he had desire means he must be knowing. If he entertained a desire, he must be the knower. Desire must be for something which is known. That means he must be the knower. Therefore what? Atma, Brahman Atma is a knower, subject of knowledge. Therefore, the pure knowledge is Brahma. Saying that pure knowledge is Brahman is incorrect, inappropriate, ayuktam. Jnaptihi Brahma iti ayuktam. Is it clear? Okay. Then he continues. He's very happy now. Something he got. He also has Shruti support. So, Kamayata. Oh, Upanishad says Atma Kamayata. He doesn't understand where, in which context it was said, in which meaning it was said. He simply says. Then he continues. Anityatva prasangaticha. Now, what happens? So Brahman is not pure consciousness. Brahman is the knower. Being the knower is what now? Knower means what? Being subject of knowledge also implies what? Being limited. Being different from the known and the knowledge. Ever what? Subject to change. The knower is subject to change. He says what? Anityatva prasangat cha. So everything is subject to change here. Everything is subject to change. Everything is time bound. Everything is impermanent. Therefore what? Now Brahman has the now status of being impermanent. Time bound. that there arises the situation of Brahman having the status of being impermanent, time bound. Once he is a desirer, then there's a knower, then he is impermanent. Now again he continues. Yadi nama jnaptihi jnanam iti bhava rupata brahmanaha tathapi anityatvam prasajyeta. Now what happens? He continues. Even if we say jnaptihi jnanam iti, even if we take the word jnapti as knowledge, as vritti jnanam, bhava rupata means what? As vritti jnanam, as knowledge, yadi nama jnaptihi jnanam iti. Again, he goes back to the same old thing. Jnaptihi jnanam. Jnaptihi means knowledge, vritti jnanam. Now, what is that knowledge? Bhava rupata. See, the word bhava rupata means bhava rupaha. The knowledge has the status of being the vritti jnanam. Then also, is what now? Brahmanaha tathapi anityatvam prasajyeta paratantriyam cha. Then also, tathapi, even then, brahmanaha anityatvam prasajyeta. Prasajyeta, there will happen what? The status of being time bound, impermanent. Not only being time bound, impermanent, anityatvam also will be there for Brahman. Then, being knowledge, also what is dependent on the knower and the known. There cannot be knowledge without the knower. There cannot be knowledge without the known. Knowledge of something. Knowledge of what? You have to ask. Knowledge of something. Again, what happens? Dependence comes because he's going to explain later on. Paratantriyam. Swatantriyam means freedom, independence. So being dependent is being bound. Being independent is being free. So here paratantriyam means dependence. Swatantriyam is the opposite of paratantriyam. Okay, paratantraha. Adjective, paratantraha, dependent. Paratantriyam, dependence, noun. Swatantraha, independent. Swatantriyam, independence. Have to make up the difference between adjective and the noun. Okay. So, brahmanaha, anityatvam prasajyeta, there will happen the status of being time-bound, impermanent, and there will be also dependence for Brahman. Brahman will have dependence. Dependence will be there for Brahman. Anityatvam will be there, paratantriyam cha prasajyeta for Brahman. Why? Even if jnaptihi is taken to be jnanam, bhavarupata, vritti jnanam. And he gives another meaning, okay, by explanation. Why he says, why we should take the word jnaptihi as jnanam, vritti jnanam? Because, he says, dhatvarthanam karaka apekshatvat. Why he says that there will be dependence for Brahman? Why Brahman as the knower as Atma, will have the status of being the knower, then will have the status of being time-bound and impermanent, will also become what? Will also have dependence. Now, he explains that dhatvartha, what is dependence? Dhatvarthanam karaka apekshatvam asti. Dhatoho dhatunam arthaha. Dhatu arthaha. Dhatunam arthaha. Meanings of the roots. Dhatunam arthaha dhatvarthaha. Dhatu arthaha. Sashti tatpurusha. Samas. Dhatvarthanam. All the meanings of the roots. Meanings of the roots means the root meanings have what? The status of being dependent on accessories associated with the action. Karaka apekshatvam. Apekshatvam again what? Requirement. Requirement implies what? Dependence. So root meanings have the requirement of accessories. Accessories in terms of the different case verbs, no? Karta, you can say the subject of action, object of action, instrument of action, purpose of action, beneficiary of action, locus of action, these are all karakas. These are all accessories associated with the action. So, the meanings of the roots have the requirement of accessories in terms of subject of action, object of action, instrument of action, purpose of action, beneficiary of action, locus of action. So what is the root meaning of the word, of the root jnā, jnānam? So generally first he says, any root indicates an action. Therefore, the root meaning requires karakas, accessories. Means there's dependence. And here, what about the word jnanam? Jnanam cha dhatvartha. The meaning derived from the root jnā is also what? Jnanam. Jnanam cha dhatvartha. The meaning of the root jnā is jnanam. And which is, what is it? Jnanam. That jnanam has the requirement of karakas. Means dependent on karakas. So it means act of knowing. Act of knowing is what? Associated with all the karakas. So dhatvartaha, jnanam cha dhatvartaha. Knowing is the meaning of the root jnā. Ataha, therefore, asya anityatvam paratantra chatacha. Therefore, this Brahman being implied by the term jnanam. The jnanam being the root meaning of the root jnā, it has what now? The jnanam is the dhatvartaha. Meaning of the root jnā. Ataha, therefore, asya, this Brahman implied by the term jnanam has what? Anityatvam, impermanence, limitation, time limitation, impermanence. And also what? Paratantratacha. It also has dependence. Now Brahman has dependence, Brahman has time limitation, Brahman has impermanence. So what? It does not mean, so what? What does he want to say now? What he means is, Brahman is, what is implied by the term Brahman is something like any other object. Any object is object of knowledge. And being object of knowledge, it is time-wise limited, spatially limited, object-wise limited, being different from everything else. And subject to change. It has dependence versus existence. It is also what? It is impermanent. Any object in the world is impermanent. Everything is ashashvatam. Everything is impermanent here. So Brahman also is like one of the impermanent objects which has no independent existence. So Brahman is subject to change. As karta, as karma, as jnanam, as jnanakarta, as jnanam. Therefore what? It is not something very big as you think Brahma vidha apnoti param. That is not there. What he wants is, there is no use of knowing that Brahman, which is as good as any other object. Any other object which has dependence, which has time limitation, which is impermanent. Every object in this world is what? Time bound, impermanent, independent. So Brahman also is like any other object in the world, it's as good as any other object in the world. Therefore, there's no benefit of knowing, specific benefit of knowing Brahman. Brahma tadrushasya brahmanaha jnanena kim prayojanam bhavishyati. Tadrushasya brahmanaha jnanena kim prayojanam bhavishyati. He's not asking. That's what is implied. Okay, what will be the benefit of knowing such Brahman, which is dependent, which is time-bound, which is impermanent? These all were now Purvapakshi's doubt. Even though some people are of the view that this particular paragraph, what we read today, evam tarhi onwards, until Paratantratacha, until then, the whole paragraph is interpreted in two ways. But still, Pujya Swamiji takes it only as a Purapakshi's doubt or Purapakshi's view. So we also take it as Purapakshi's view. Is it clear? What is Purapakshi's view? Brahman, the word. What is implied by the term jnanam is Brahma. That jnanam implies Brahman being the knower, because he gives a relevant quote from the Upanishad. There is a context where Brahman is presented as the Atma, as that he desired before creation, had a desire to create, which means he must be knowing what he desired. In Brahman is the knower. As knower, he is impermanent. Even if we take the meaning of the word jnanam, as a vritti jnanam, then also there'll be, Brahman will have the status of being impermanent, time-bound and dependent. The reason is, any meaning of any dhatu is associated with an action or denotes an action. Once a root meaning denotes an action means, then it is what? it has the requirement of the accessories. Then therefore, as root meaning, there'll be dependence, there'll be impermanence, with time limitation. So what? Brahman becomes like, Brahman is as good as any other object. So by knowing such Brahman, which is as good as any other dependent, time-bound object, there won't be any great benefit. This Purapakshi's view. Okay. Now Shankar Bhagatpada has to give an answer. Is the doubt clear first of all? Now what is the answer? No. That explanation of yours, the Purapakshi's explanation, that explanation of Purapakshi is not correct. That view of Purapakshi, that argument of Purapakshi is not correct. Na. Means that this is the meaning of the word na. No. He says, Swarupa avyatirekena karyatva upachara. This is the brief answer. This is the brief reply to refute his argument, to correct his erroneous view, to correct the erroneous view of a Purapakshi. The brief answer Shankaracharya gives is this. Swarupa vyatirekena karyatva upacharat, karyatva upacharat, swarupa avyatirekena, swarupa avyatirekena, mean what? Swarupa avyatirekena, karyatva upacharaha, upacharena karyatvam yasya asti, tad karyatva upacharam. It means, upacharaha means figurative. Upacharat. As Brahman figuratively has the status of being an effect. Means what? Is mistaken to be an effect. What is effect? Effect means is knowledge. We take this vritti jnanam. The word jnanam generally immediately makes all of us think of knowledge of an object. We say there is knowledge means what? Knowledge is there means immediately knowledge of what? That is what we tend to ask. He has knowledge or there is knowledge. When we hear the word knowledge, immediately what comes to our mind is knowledge of what? Therefore, the word jnanam generally well known as what? Knowledge of an object which rises in the form of a thought. Therefore, vritti jnanam, knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought modification is what? Vritti jnanam. Therefore, vritti jnanam is what? Always karyam, effect. Vritti jnanam is an effect. Swarupa avyatirekena. So, always Brahman is mistaken to be the karyam, the vritti jnanam. Why? Because Swarupa avyatirekena. Swarupa avyatirekena. See, vyatirekaha means separateness. Avyatirekaha means non-separateness. Vyatirekaha, avyatirekaha. The knowledge is any knowledge which rises in the form of a thought is non-separate. Swarupam here means the pure knowledge. The word swarupam in this sentence means pure knowledge, pure consciousness, the essential nature of knowing. Swarupa avyatirekena. The knowledge is non-separate from its swarupam, the pure knowledge. The vritti jnanam is non-separate from its essential nature, the pure knowledge. I mean, there cannot be vritti jnanam at all without the pure knowledge, the source of knowledge. In our own language, we have to say, there cannot be manifestation of knowledge without the source of manifestation. There must be source of manifestation of knowledge for any knowledge to become manifest. Therefore, manifest knowledge in terms of vritti jnanam is non-separate from its source, the pure knowledge. Because of this non-separateness also, figuratively, it has the status of being an effect. It is mistaken to be jnanam, vritti jnanam. Because of the inseparability of pure consciousness from the vritti jnanam, figuratively, it is said to be jnanam. Is taken to be vritti jnanam. This is what one is a brief answer. This needs what? Elaborate explanation, without which Purapakshi cannot understand. So we also cannot understand. What does he mean by saying this? Okay. Atmanaha swarupam jnaptihi. Now he says, hey, Atma here means what? The knower. Then, okay, Atmanaha swarupam, the all-pervasive reality obtaining as the innermost essence is implied by the term Atma, which alone has the status of being the knower. Isn't it? From the standpoint of the known, that knower's swarupam, the swarupam of the Atma is what? Jnaptihi. That innermost essence is implied with the Atma, and the very nature of that Atma is knowledge, pure knowledge. So I'm repeating again, all pervasive reality obtaining as the innermost essence, obtaining as the self of every being, implied by the term Atma, is of the nature of knowing. Understand? Therefore, what? Atmanaha swarupam jnaptihi. Knowing is, knowledge is the very nature of the reality implied by the term Atma. Why does the Atma know? Why does Brahman know? If the question is asked, it knows because it's nature. We ask that, why does the sun illumine? Why does the sun illumine? Is illumining an action of the sun or the nature of the sun? The sun does not use his will to illumine. So, illumining is not a will-involved action. It is the very nature of the sun. Swarupam. Not an action. Na karma, but parantu swarupam. Similarly here, this all-pervasive reality, abstract reality, obtaining as the innermost self, implied by the term Atma, is also of the nature of knowing. Therefore, it is implied by the term Jnaptihi. Atmanaha Swarupam Jnaptihi. Tataha Na Vyatirichyate. Tataha Na Vyatirichyate. See, the Vyatirichyate is also a nice verb, has so many meanings. Na Vyatirichyate means what? Non-different. Tataha Na Vyatirichyate. Consciousness or pure knowledge is non-different from Atma. It is like saying, illumining nature is non-different from light. Illumining Swarupam is non-different from light. Burning Swarupam, Dahana is what? The nature of burning is non-different from fire. Inseparable from fire, non-different from fire. The same way, this Jnaptihi, knowledge, is non-different from Atma. Tataha, I mean what? Tasmad Atmanaha. From that Atma, which is of the nature of knowing, this knowledge is what? Non-separate. Jnaptihi tataha na vyatirichyate. The pure knowledge is, pure consciousness is non-separate from Atma. And being is Swarupam. Ataha, therefore, Jnaptihi nityayeva. Jnaptihi is a stilinga shabdaha. Please make a note. Jnaptihi is a feminine gender word. Therefore, what is the adjective here? Nitya. Atma nitya. Brahma nityam. Jnaptihi nitya. Jnaptihi nityayeva. The pure consciousness is timeless, permanent. Permanent, timeless implies what? Changeless, timeless, they were permanent only. Okay, he was saying, what did he say before, Purupakshi? He said, Anityatva Prasangaha, he said. No, what did he talk about? What are you saying? Pure conscious, Atmana Swarupam, he said. He said, Atma and consciousness are one and the same. Atmana Swarupam Jnaptihi. Pure knowledge is the very inseparable nature of the Atma. Tataha na vyatirichyate jnaptihi. A pure knowledge is non-different from Atma. Non-separate from Atma. Inseparable from Atma. Therefore what? Ataha, therefore, jnaptihi nityayeva. Jnaptihi is permanent. Timeless, eternal. Tathapi. So, tathat means even though, yadyapi jnaptihi nitya eva, yadyapi jnaptihi nitya eva, even though this pure knowledge, pure consciousness, being very swarup of the Atma, being non-separate from the Atma, even though it is timeless, permanent, still, tathapi, still, it is what? It is figuratively taken to be, said to be jnanam, vritti jnanam also. Why? The reason is he is giving. Buddhehe upadhilakshanayaha buddhehe upadhi lakshanayah. The buddhi, which is in the form of an upadhi. Is it, you know what upadhi? My God, I should not be explaining all this. Taittiriya Bhashyam class attending means you must be knowing what is upadhi already. I should not, if we go and then become again Tattubodha class, kindergarten class, and then I will, that whole time we'll go for that and we won't be able to finish the Bhashyam class. Okay. Buddhi is what now? Upadhi Lakshana Buddhihi. Upadhi Lakshana Buddhi, Buddhi which is in the form of an upadhi. Of that intellect, which is in the form of upadhi, Parinamini Buddhihi, Upadhi Lakshana Buddhihi, one adjective. Kidrashi Buddhihi, Upadhi Lakshana Buddhihi. The Buddhi, I'll explain to that, explain why the pure knowledge, which is permanent, which is changeless, which is everlasting, is taken to be figuratively Vritti Jnanam. He explained that. He's talking about the buddhi in that context. Kidrashi buddhihi, buddhihi upadhi lakshana. Buddhi is nimafan upadhi. Upadhi is the, is an adjunct, which is there inseparably closest instrument of knowledge. For jnapti, for consciousness. Upadhi lakshana. This is upadhi. So upadhi, what does it do? It is capable of superimposing its attributes to something which is nearest to it. Any upadhi is capable of, upadhi itself is what? That which is capable of falsely transferring its attributes to the near, something which is the nearest, inseparably closest. That is upadhi. If you fill your glass tumbler, if you keep the glass container in a tray of glass bubbles, and the glass, beads, colorful beads, what happens? The pure, clean, crystal glass looks colorful. If you take the glass separately and see, it is colorless, clean crystal glass. You put it, you put the glass, fill the glass with colorful glass beads, and the glass looks colorful. The glass does not become colorful. It looks as though it has become colorful because the color of the beads, the color belonging to, is the attribute of the beads, glass beads, becomes falsely transferred to the glass. Thereby, the color of the beads is superimposed upon the glass, crystal glass. And crystal glass means the crystal container. The glass, right? The glass itself is different. I can say glass container or a crystal container, which is transparent, which has no color. The glass container or a crystal container, which has no color, looks colorful when it is inseparably closely with colorful glass beads. So it doesn't become colorful. It looks as though it has become colorful. And we do mistake the glass to be colorful. It's called what? Superimposition of the attribute in terms of color, the beads upon the glass container. Then we can say beads are the upadhi for the glass container. In the same way here, this Atma is what? Pure knowledge. There's no attributes. But buddhi is what? Upadhi of the Atma. Buddhi is capable of, not by doing something, being the closest proximity. Buddhi is, the intellect is capable of transferring its attributes falsely to the Atma. The word buddhi is said to be upadhi. Buddhi, which is in the form of upadhi for the atma, the jnapti, pure knowledge, is what buddhi lakshana. Upadhi lakshana buddhihi. Okay. Then, parinamini buddhihi. Parinamini. Let us understand the buddhi first. Okay. Very important lesson. I don't mind taking a long time because it is something very important and very subtle. You understand? I'm going to explain every word here. Parinamini buddhihi. Parinamaha means evolution, change, modification. Parinami means what? Masculine gender word. Changing. Parinamini, feminine gender word. Parinami, nakaranta, pullinga shabda. Parinamini, ikaranta, stilinga shabda. Why? Buddhihi is a feminine gender word. Buddhihi is parinamini buddhihi. Buddhi is, which is changing. Parinamini buddhihi, the buddhi, which is of the nature of, which is changing. Changing into what? He says, vishayakarena parinamini buddhihi. The buddhi is changing into, which is capable of changing into the form of the object. The buddhi is changing into, is capable of changing into the form of an object, assuming the form of an object in the form of a thought. So the thoughts which rise in the buddhi is upadhi, and which has vrittis, and the vritti of the buddhi is what now is, buddhi is capable of changing, assuming the form of an object. Vishaya akarena parinamini buddhihi. Vishaya akara means form of the object. Vishayasya akaraha, vishaya akaraha. Vishaya akaraha means form of the object. The buddhi changes into what now? The form of an object. Which object? Chakshuradi dwaraihi. Chakshuradi dwaraihi. Vishayakarena parinamini buddhihi. This buddhi is in the form of an upadhi. This is also capable of changing into a thought, assuming the form of an object perceived through the sense organs, perceptible through the sense organs. Chakshuradi dwarehi, perceptible through the sense organs such as eye, etc. If the light is perceived, there will be light akara vrittihi. I'm stopping and explaining here. When the light is perceived through the eyes, there'll be light akara vrittihi, the thought form of the light. How it will be, don't go and research all those things. There is already light form of the thought. The thought having the form of the light. Then, shabdakara vrittihi, rupakara vrittihi, shabdakara vrittihi. You hear the birds, perching, some noise. And immediately what now? When the sound is heard through the ears, there will be thought form of that object heard. Thought form of the sound, specific sound. You hear the Hindola ragam or Mohana ragam, and we appreciate the raga. What does it mean? You hear the sound through the ears, and there is what now? Vishaya akara vrittihi. the thought form of that specific sound. When you smell something, then gandha-vishayakara vritti, thought form of the object, okay, what it is smelling. The same way, forms, you see various forms and colors. You see cow, even taste also. Every object, the thought form pertaining to the specific object perceived through the specific sense organ. Vishayakara vrittayaha. Vishayakara vrittayaha. There are so many thoughts pertaining to the respective object perceived through respective sense organ. You see cow, then what of go akara vrittihi, griha akara vrittihi, rattavarna akara vrittihi, purushakara vrittihi, mrigakara vrittihi. Akara vrittihi means the thought form of the specific object perceived through the specific sense organ. Respective sense organ. This is how this buddhi alone with her own thoughts undergoes a change, assuming with her own thoughts, with its own thoughts, undergoing the changes, having what? The thoughts pertaining to the objects. In the form of thoughts, the buddhi undergoes change in the form of thoughts, assuming the form of the objects, perceived through the respective sense organs. That's what he says. That is the buddhi. We are talking about only the buddhi. We will come to the point later on. Buddhi, upadhi lakshana buddhihi. What second adjective? Chakshuradi dwarehi vishaya akarena parinamini buddhihi. Chakshuradi dwarehi. Then there's a madhyam padalopi samasa. Okay. Chakshuradi dwarehi vishaya akarena parinamini buddhihi. Now you understand. That is why cognitions pertaining to various objects take place in the buddhi, and we have the knowledge of so many things. Amazing. How the buddhi works, how the vrittis rise, how perception takes place, how cognitions take place, how knowledge takes place, and how, you know, The process of knowing takes place, that itself is Ishvara. Wonderful. We'll discuss all that later on. Okay. Now, that buddhi. He says, ye shabdadi akara avabhasaha. Shabdadi akara avabhasaha. See, avabhasate, bhas is the root, ava is the prefix. Avabhasate means shines. So, avabhasaha means those which are shining. So, what are shining here? Shabdadi akara avabhasaha. Thought forms of objects. Akara means form. Thought forms of objects such as sound, etc., perceived through the sense organ such as ear, etc., are shining, the thoughts. So, avabhasaha implies, means the cognition, the shining cognitions in the form of the thought forms, the shining thought forms of objects such as sound, etc. Shining thought forms of objects such as sound, etc. Okay. Those thought forms belong to whom? The buddhi. Which buddhi? The buddhi which alone is changing with her own thought forms, thoughts, in the form of the objects perceived through various sense organs, which is in the form of upadhi. Now here, the cognitions, the shining cognitions, in the form of the cognitions, in terms of the thought forms of objects such as sound, etc., belonging to this buddhi. Yea, te atma vijnanasya vishayabhutaha. What he wants to say, yea, shabdadi akara avabhasaha. Those thought forms of objects which are shining in the mind, intellect, they themselves, avabhasaha is a pullinga shabda. Yea, avabhasaha. Those thought forms, shining thought forms of objects such as sound, etc., belonging to the buddhi, they, even those thought forms, what now? Atma vijnanasya vishayabhutaha, they themselves are in the form of objects, vishayabhutaha. They themselves are in the form of objects of the pure knowledge, atma vijnanam, the pure consciousness. Atma vijnanam means what? The pure knowledge, the pure consciousness implied by the term atma is what? Atma vijnanam. Atma vijnanasya vishayabhutaha. See what he wants to say, I'll explain to you. What did he say now? The word jnanam, the jnaptihi, means as pure knowledge, pure consciousness, which is not the thought, which is not the knower, which is not vritti jnanam, which is not the subject of knowledge, which is not the object of knowledge also, which is not instrument of knowledge. What is this now? No. Even the vritti jnanam itself is object of knowledge. The knower of knowledge is different from the known knowledge. Isn't it clear? What he wants to say here, atma vijnanasya vishayabhutaha means what? Vritti jnanam itself is an object of knowledge, object of consciousness. Because knower of knowledge is different from the known knowledge. The word is atma vijnanasya vishayabhutaha. All those thought forms of objects such as sound, etc., which are there in the, which belong to the buddhi, they're all objects of knowledge, objects of consciousness. Vishayabhutaha. So that knower of the knowledge is different from the known knowledge. How can you say the knower of knowledge should be the non-knowledge? He explains now. So here it is not the vritti jnanam. The jnaptihi does not mean vritti jnanam. Jnaptihi means the knower of the vritti jnanam. Knower of the vritti jnanam is different from the known vritti jnanam. And that knower of the vritti jnanam knows the vritti jnanam because knowing is the swarupam, not an action. He's what he wants to establish. He says, the buddhi, upadhi lakshanayaha chakshuradi dwarehi vishyakarena parinaminyaha shabdadi akara vabhasaha yesanti te atma vijnanasya vishyabhutaha. What is the simple meaning of this sentence, you know? All those cognitions obtaining in the form of thoughts pertaining to various objects perceived through sense organs, which rise in the buddhi, themselves are objects of knowledge. Buddhi herself is object of knowledge. The cognitions which rise in the buddhi, the buddhi alone is in the form of thoughts, cognitions. Okay? And all the cognitions just shining, pertaining to various objects, perceived through various sense organs, all those cognitions themselves are objects of knowledge. Remember, arivayum arihindra arivu parampurur, isn't it? The reality is the knower of knowledge. The knower of knowledge is the reality. That's what he means here. Ye shabdadi akara avabhasaha te atma vijnanasya vishyabhutaha. He continues to say, oh, it's time now. I'll stop the one sentence. Utpadyamanaha eva atma vijnanena vyaptaha utpadyante. The thoughts, as even they rise, utpadyamanaha, these cognitions, as even they rise, utpadyamanaha eva, as even they are rising, utpadyamanaha, cognitions, as even they are rising, atma vijnanena vyaptaha, pervaded by this consciousness, they rise. The thoughts, the cognitions, rising in them of thoughts, as even they are rising, they're rising, pervaded by consciousness only, they rise. This rising of vritti jnanam itself is enabled by the presence of consciousness. There won't be something called vritti jnanam at all without the blessing of consciousness, presence of consciousness. Okay? That's what he says. Vritti jnanam is object of knowledge, which means the knower of vritti jnanam is pure consciousness, pure knowledge atma, is distinct from, different from the known knowledge. The knower of knowledge should not be mistaken for the known knowledge. That's the teaching here. Okay? We'll continue next class. I'll explain this again. Very important lesson. We will definitely see in the next class. Because understanding this is the understanding the whole Taittiriya Upanishad class, important lesson. So we'll continue next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat. Sri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.